This is Ed Mazur, chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Sanctuary cities, yes or no? This is the topic of our session today. Our speakers included County Board Commissioner and potential U.S. Congressman Jesus Garcia, who's running for Congressman Luis Gutierrez's seat, former Congressman and radio personality Joe Walsh, and Brian McMahon, a 34-year-old Chicago Public School veteran who taught at Washington High School on the far southeast side, and whose brother in 2011 was murdered by an illegal alien. This was a fiery and hotly debated session. Joe Walsh began by saying that there are 11 million illegals in the United States, and that this, more than any other issue, was responsible for Donald Trump becoming president of the United States. Garcia and Brian McMahon agreed with that. He said that Trump will go after other cities that protect illegals, such as Chicago, and that there will be a cutback in federal assistance to Chicago because we are a sanctuary city. Garcia and McMahon disagreed with that. They all agreed, however, that Illinois has the sixth largest immigrant population in the United States, that many of these immigrants work hard, pay taxes, and that crime is committed by only a minority of them. But this is a raw gut issue that cuts across neighborhoods and social and economic classes. They talked about the amount of crime committed by illegals in these various neighborhoods, and some interesting statistics were thrown about. According to Brian McMahon, there are 11,000 illegal aliens incarcerated in Illinois prisons. And the crime rate, although Latinos make up only 3.5% of the total population of the United States, 30% of all those incarcerated for murder are illegals, 17% of all the drug traffic and convictions are held by illegals. There were fiery questions asked from the floor, and at times we had to step in and separate the combatants. This is an issue, immigration, that will not go away. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today. And who would like to begin with their opening statement on sanctuary cities, yes or no?
I'll start.
Okay.
We'll go this way. Thank you. And thank you. It's great to be here. Chewy and Brian, thank you for joining me up here. Let me do what I do every day on the radio show, see a cop, thank a cop. Thank you to all of our police officers in the room, and let's give a round of applause to every. Every man and woman in blue who serves this country. For anybody who doesn't know, who still doesn't know, a year after the fact, how the hell Donald Trump became president. This is it. This issue. I believe this issue more than anything else put Trump in the White House. The fact that we have 11 million people in this country illegally. It is an issue that frustrates Americans, white, black, and brown. It's an issue that angers Americans, white, black, and brown. And it's an issue a lot of Americans don't understand. It's an important topic to talk about. This issue isn't going away. This battle between Rahm Emanuel and Donald Trump is going to continue. The Trump administration is going to do whatever they can to go after sanctuary cities. Cities that protect people. Think about it. Sometimes when I go to bed at night or I'm done with my radio show, it amazes me that a sovereign nation allows millions and millions and millions and millions of people to come in illegally. This issue more than anything put Trump in the White House. And I guess I'd argue, and I'm glad we're having this discussion, this is an issue I think that's only going to get more heated and more emotional because it's that important. It's good to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. Commissioner Garcia?
So, anticipating that I would be the meat in the sandwich, and to prevent a filibuster at City Club, I have prepared some remarks in order to be disciplined at the suggestion of people who know me. and especially after hearing the opening remarks of the gentleman to my right. Thank you, City Club, for the opportunity to speak with you today about a very important topic, sanctuary or welcoming cities or localities. And, of course, it's a pleasure to be here with Mr. Walsh, with Mr. McCann, to discuss this issue. And I know it's a very dear issue and one that has impacted especially Mr. McCann. And again, I reiterate my sympathy and my condolences on the passing of his brother in 2011. Immigrants are an essential part of a healthy economy and quality of life. Illinois has the sixth largest immigrant population, 500,000 who are undocumented. They make up 1/6 of the workforce. According to the Illinois Business and Immigration Council, the font just shrunk, undocumented immigrants in Illinois contribute nearly $500 million in state and federal taxes, an amount that would increase if they were granted full legal status. If they were deported, Illinois would lose over $25 billion yearly in economic activity. It's been shown that immigrants also promote the well-being of the U.S.-born population. High immigrant-receiving counties see higher incomes and overall receive less public assistance. It is clear that when we protect all residents, significant economic gains are seen. Today, immigration policy is being shaped by fear rather than facts. The truth is that immigrants are less likely than native-born citizens to engage in violent behavior or to be incarcerated. Crime is statistically lower in sanctuary counties. Even the Major Cities Police Chiefs Association has highlighted the importance of working with immigrant communities. Immigration sweeps and workplace raids create a chilling effect. 2017, for example, saw the sharpest drop in 911 calls to Chicago police due to the fear in the community. When ICE officials showing up to doorsteps with the word police on their uniforms, the distrust only grows. Through my initiative, Cook County approved the ICE Detainer Ordinance in 2011. This prohibits county officials from holding individuals beyond their scheduled release dates. Our reasons were simple. We found that some ICE detainers were erroneously placed on U.S. citizens, including veterans, and we were sued and had to pay damages for this. This led to costs related to detaining citizens unnecessarily, as well as litigation costs. We were wasting public resources when the county faced severe budget constraints that put critical social services at risk. It's also clear that racial profiling can become an easy shortcut and lead to abuses. Our Constitution grants cities and counties the authority to implement policies that encourage the health, safety, and welfare of residents. Jurisdictions such as Cook County take seriously our responsibilities with respect to due process and the Fourth Amendment and the rule of law. Our ordinance does not undermine the federal government. Rather, we simply say that we will not be complicit in federal overreach. The principle behind the Cook County Detainer Ordinance has been confirmed by federal court decisions at both district and at appellate court levels and inspired similar instances throughout the country. It's led to the passage of the Illinois Trust Act. That act was supported and negotiated with sectors of law enforcement agencies in Illinois. Like the Detainer Ordinance, the Trust Act does not prevent agencies from cooperating with the federal government. It simply ensures that arrests are not conducted without warrants. Our job to foster greater public safety and security and to stand against mob action. Frankly, rather than fight Cook County law, federal law should follow what Cook County did to protect due process in the Fourth Amendment. Regrettably, and I'm closing now, anti-immigrant vitriol is being blurred with questions of our national security, unfairly confusing civil immigration law with the burgeoning criminal justice apparatus. Finally, unfortunately, the rhetoric from the nation's chief executive and down through the ranks of the Department of Justice and of Homeland Security does just the opposite. It encourages mob action and makes us all less safe and secure. It is aimed at denying due process for all people on U.S. soil, and it denies them the full protections under the Constitution. That's why we need a mid-course correction now. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Brian, you have the floor.
Thank you. Thank you, Ed. I want to thank the City Club for inviting me, and I want to thank my niece, Courtney Elko, my wife, Erin, and several friends that are here. And, of course, the attendees here, because this is a really important subject. I only got involved in this, as Ed mentions, because my brother was killed in 2011 in Logan Square by an illegal former felon who fled to Mexico the following November due entirely to the ordinance that Commissioner Garcia just referenced. This has happened thousands of times all over the country. Behind me, we have three images. One is my brother's. The other is Jeanine Brady. This is a state issue, and I just thought I'd put that up to talk about Illinois, because this we're in Illinois. And Jeanine Brady's she was killed a year and 3 weeks ago on New Year's Eve in Champaign County. Champaign County was a sanctuary county. Back then, there was three or four regions in Illinois that were sanctuary. Cook County, of course. Evanston had its own, and in Champaign, and maybe Cicero. I'm not quite sure. But anyhow, they had it. This young man was from Guatemala who killed Jeanine violently on Interstate 74 after she was on her shift at the American Legion. Her husband, Eric, is a veteran like I am. The young man was brought to the hospital, and for some odd reason, the Illinois State Police did not assign a deputy to keep an eye on him. And he was released that morning, and he fled. The other image up there is Tiffany Thrasher. She was killed by an immigrant in Easter Sunday. She was preparing to go to sing in a choir up in Schaumburg. And there was a warrant out for his arrest in Colorado. Any case, he was apprehended out in Jacksonville 4 or 5 days later and brought to justice. These are just three instances. I could sit here and carry on all afternoon with the ones. I have a sheaf of papers here that could number in the hundreds from around the country that have been documented. But I'll only mention those three. I should mention, though, just recently, over the weekend, many of you in here have probably taken that Greyhound bus between Milwaukee and Chicago. This character who was deported 2, 3, 4 times, depending on which newspaper you read, was brandishing a weapon on the bus and threatening to kill everybody. Fortunately, the Racine County Police came up with some way to stop him, and he's now, I think, in custody in Lake County. Lake County is a sanctuary county, so I hope they keep an eye on him. But I guess he's still in custody, and there was no bond. There's so many. How about just 2 days ago in Sacramento? This guy that killed two cops, Davis Oliver. I met Mrs. Davis. You tend to meet a lot of other family members when you do this work. He's screaming and yelling in the courtroom after oral arguments that he'd kill cops all day long if he had the opportunity. This is real serious stuff. There's AVIAC, our organization, Advocates for Victims of Illegal Alien Crime. There's six of us that started it. We're all over the country, from New England down to Southern California. Two of us lost siblings. The others lost adult children. These are real, real angry people. Real angry people. We've been to D.C. 4 or 5 times. We were there in D.C. when we started AVIAC at the press club. last June, and we were doing radio interviews as well that weekend. What we're trying to do with AVIAC is we're trying to impress upon Main Street that this is really serious. In our opinion, we think this is woefully underreported in the press, the violence that's committed by illegal aliens on American citizens. That's our main goal. We also do a fair amount of lobbying. We met with many senators. I don't know how good that's going to do if you, what's going on in D.C. right now, but we'll soon see. We think that the press gives the immigrant community an awful lot of attention, an awful lot of sympathetic attention, and much of it well-deserved, I might add. I should say parenthetically, I don't have any real issue with DACAs. I probably know more DACAs than anybody in this room next to Jesus. I taught Hispanic kids for 20 years over on the East Side. We never asked what immigration status was. We never really cared. My issue is with violent criminals. How many of you have heard of MS-13? They're here. Go to Suffolk County out in Long Island. They're terrified out there. Gangs, criminals, it's rampant all over the country. I wasn't going to get into a lot of statistics, but my friend on the right did. I've got a few of them here. Yesterday, 2 days ago, what's her name? The new DHS, Nielsen, forgot her first name. It's a Scandinavian. Kristen. She said, the opposition calls them roundups, but Tom Holman, who runs ICE, has been dispatching teams of ICE agents, and they've apprehended quite a few of them because of sanctuary cities. They can't get the cooperation. But her figures or her argument the other day and before the Senate Judiciary Committee is that over 90% of them were felons. So there are a few that are being apprehended that shouldn't be, but 90% of them are felons. Other figures that came out of DHS recently this past fall, 59,000 in federal prisons are immigrants, and 92% of them are illegals. We don't have comprehensive figures about state prisons, although I do have figures about Illinois that I got from my friend at CIS, that 7,400 of the illegals in Illinois prisons are illegal aliens in Illinois prisons. These are just a handful of figures. Now, Judicial Watch is a organization that we partnered with, or my family partnered with, when we sued Cook County unsuccessfully. We sued, I'm not a lawyer, but it was a mandamus. A mandamus is a legal concept that will force a government entity to do X, Y, or Z. What we were trying to do is force Tom Dart at Cook County to not honor the detainer that Commissioner Garcia and was it nine other commissioners passed back in 2011. And we were unsuccessful. We kept appealing all the way to the Supreme Court, and it was thrown out. They didn't even allow oral arguments. But Judicial Watch recently, they do a lot of FOIAs, Freedom of Information. They came up with a figure just last November that 284 ICE detainers were denied across the United States because of these sanctuary cities. And that was only in the first 3 months of 2017. Now, contained in that were several from Cook County. The exact number I forgot to bring with me, but it was 15, 20. I could be wrong. I should have brought those figures. It's serious. I could go on and on and on, but what AVIAC has done for me is I've met a lot of these people. We were down in Houston 18 months ago, and Aaron and I must have met 15 or 20 family members. Another partner organization of ours, the Remembrance Project, had a group down there. Remembrance Project got started because there was a rash of Houston cops who were being killed by illegal aliens down in Houston. They started this Remembrance Project, and we went down to meet with several people, and it was in lunches like this. It was just heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. So we're continuing to do this work. We hope we impress upon people on Main Street that it's very, very serious. As I said earlier, my issue with DACA is I'm sympathetic. I hope we can work something out in D.C., but time will tell, and thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you.
Hey, Dr. Mazur, can I jump in real quick?
Because you have.
After those wonderful two introductions, I want like 10 minutes back. Chewy?
Can't give you 10.
I'll take 45 seconds. We've got to all be on the same page. We cannot be living with a different set of facts. The crime rate among illegals in this country far surpasses. Chewy,
that's a lie.
If I'm false, I'll move into your district and I'll vote for you.
Show some evidence.
No way. According to our own government. Let me finish and then fire at me. According to our own government, the Department of Justice, the FBI, illegals make up 3.5% of the population of this country. 30% of the murders in this country are committed by illegals. Illegals make up 3.5% of this country. 75% of all federal drug offense convictions are committed by illegals. I'm going to say it again. Illegals make up 3.5% of this country. 17% of all drug trafficking convictions are committed by illegals. According again to the U.S. Sentencing Commission and the GAO, illegals are 3.5 times more likely to commit murder than a natural-born American and a legal American. I'm going to throw one more at you, Chewy. Two-thirds of all outstanding felony warrants in the city of Los Angeles are for illegals. 95% of all outstanding warrants for murders in Los Angeles are for illegals. Stop, my friend. I love you. But it's not even close. The crime rate, the murder rate, the rape rate, the drug offense rate for people in this country illegally far surpasses the natural born population. And last point, far surpasses legal immigrants. When we talk about this topic, sanctuary cities, what are we going to do for people in this country illegally? We always forget about people who are here legally. We always forget about those people in a line trying to get into this country legally. We always forget to talk about them.
It sounds like you just announced for president.
No. If I'm wrong, I'm going to vote for you.
Can we get to the questions?
That was the agreed format, so.
Do you want to respond to any of that, Chewy?
I think that's the type of vitriol that is dominating intelligent scientific discourse about the status of immigrants in our society, about what type of an immigration system this country needs to have. And it's the type of rhetoric being espoused at the highest levels from Washington, D.C., as was the recent attempt by President Trump to divert attention from the problems that he is having and to distance himself or try to distract the public's attention from the despicable and reprehensible remarks that he made about Haiti, about Africa, and El Salvador. It's a distracting tactic.
Okay. Excuse me, sir. You're out of order. Okay. If not, you'll be removed from the room, okay? Thank you very much. Now, we have a series of questions that we'd like to address. Many of them are relatively repetitive, so we'll do our best. This is from Gus Katsifaros, who's affiliated with Marmalade Chicago, Inc. I guess the question is, as a sanctuary city, what can the city do, or Cook County, to protect illegal aliens from possible deportation over that of federal agents? Or how does your authority relate to the authority of federal agents? Who would like to deal?
I'll take it. We do not do the work of federal immigration agents. That's what ICE is for. That is their responsibility. To seek to coerce us as they have in the past is to force us to carry out their responsibility.
The 10th Amendment has protections against commandeering by the federal government of states and local governments. It protects localities from having to do those things at the whims of someone, be it the president or a certain secretary. It abides by the rule of law, and that's what this debate is all about. Whether or not we are going to abide by the guarantees of the Constitution to everyone or not. Nothing prevents us from turning people over to ICE if we're presented with a warrant issued by a judge. That is the law today. We will abide by it. We're not trying to protect criminals. Anyone who has a warrant will be turned over. We simply will do it through lawful means.
No. Okay. This question is from Mr. Wayne. How do we go about identifying violent immigrants from peaceful ones? Any one of you would like to address that?
Look, the problem is, I think it was 2016 was the last time the feds, and Chewy's right, immigration is a federal responsibility, okay? Sanctuary cities prevent localities from cooperating with the feds, plain and simple. There was a snapshot done, I think, in 2016. They found about 10,000 illegals were being protected by sanctuary cities, and of those 10,000 illegals, about 62% were violent criminals. Rahm Emanuel knows. When Rahm Emanuel says Chicago's a sanctuary city, he knows what he's doing. See, this whole discussion is like mind-boggling. And I don't want to sound like Donald Trump. Are we a sovereign nation or not? Do we have a border or not? If we don't, just get rid of it. If you want to get rid of the border, just get rid of it. And say that anybody and everybody can come here. But if you're going to have a border, you have to protect it. And by the way, this issue of sanctuary cities, I don't like federal tax laws, Tom Donovan. I'm going to stop paying my taxes. I want sanctuary from our federal tax laws. How about that? I think they're unfair. 300-some jurisdictions around the country can just thumb their nose at our immigration laws? That's where we're at in this country right now. And Trump is right, by the way, to have his Justice Department take the money away from Chicago. Money that, by the way, is designated to help localities cooperate with the feds on immigration. I didn't realize that until I was in Congress. The Justice Department gives Chicago money every year so that Chicago can cooperate with the feds on immigration. Chicago's a sanctuary city. They don't cooperate with the feds. So why are they getting that money? They shouldn't.
So if the feds are withholding this money, in your opinion, Chewy, Brian, Joe, what effect has this had on the city of Chicago and crime and safety in the neighborhoods, other federal monies that could be used in other ways?
Well, the feds are not withholding federal dollars from the city or the county. Last year, the city sued the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, and prevailed in court. Most of the money that comes from the federal government is for equipment in the police department and at Cook County, let's be clear. One of the other, so we've prevailed. Why? Because constitutional decisions have ruled in favor of the practices that are in place. Sanctuary cities, sanctuary welcoming localities are not sanctuaries for criminals. The only thing that they seek to do is to be welcoming and embracing and to help everyone in those cities become integrated and ensure that they have basic treatment that is fair and access to services. Finally, on the question of how do you differentiate between a criminal immigrant and a non-criminal immigrant, think about the question. And think about this. Sometimes as we try to fight crime and to prevent crime, we do things that come back and really call to question what we're doing. And it results in racial profiling. Case in point, the city's gang database. There are over 128,000 individuals on that database. It's pretty much secret. 96% of all the individuals on the gang database are either African American or Latino. I believe it accounts to about 11% of African Americans in the entire city and about 3% of the Latino population. Ask yourself, does that sound right? Or are you going to believe that because of that statistic, certain people are more prone to commit crimes than others?
We can debate about what you should do, but if you enter this country illegally, that's a crime. Hello?
It's a misdemeanor, and it's federal law.
No, it's a felony, and it's a misdemeanor.
It is not for cities or counties to
meddle. It depends on how and where you enter. It's a felony or a misdemeanor, but Chewy, I'll throw it right back at you. Is a misdemeanor a crime, yes or no?
It's an infraction of the law.
Is it a crime?
It is a civil offense.
Okay.
And it is a civil offense.
Okay, gentlemen. We have a few more questions here. We have several people who want to know if the concept of sanctuary cities is part of a long-term democratic, capital D, plan to control Latino votes for generations to come.
Boy, that's a softball.
Can I try that one?
Take that one, Brian.
Sure, Brian.
I know a little bit about Chicago history. Chicago's got a long history of ethnic politics. We don't have to get too deep in the weeds there, but there's no question about it. Our friend Rahm pivoted to the Hispanic community. It's as plain as day. He's had problems with the African-American community because of the Laquan McDonald deal and others. And the Hispanic community is ripe for the taking in his mind. The problem with the Hispanic community is illegal voting. We've got illegal aliens. We've got illegal aliens voting. A former alderman's father was downstate in prison for several years. I don't know, they locked him up about 10 years ago for running a phony ID ring in Pilsen. There's probably more. I know they're all over California. My sources out there tell me that all the time. Fraud in the voting booth is rampant in this country. Rahm needs the Hispanic vote, and it's as plain as day. And Rahm, by the way, managed to move his formidable opponent to Congress, or soon to be. I won't mention any names.
I resent, first of all, your simplistic characterization of Latinos and immigrants as being so gullible to be related to one action, the defense of protecting people's civil rights by the city administration or the county, as if that were going to determine an entire community's political instincts or what they're going to do electorally. I also very much can't believe that we would use the tragic death of one individual to characterize a whole group or an entire community and to suggest that they have a certain tendency and a propensity toward crime, especially if they happen to be Spanish-speaking. Lastly, why is it that you so easily, both of you, refer and use the word, the pejorative word, illegal, so easily, and you don't use it to people who have been arrested or convicted of crime? You don't refer to them as illegals. Why not?
It's a good question, Chewy. You know why I refer to people in this country illegally as illegals? Because I have too damn much respect for immigrants who are in that line outside this door trying to get into this country legally. I have too much respect for the average person around the world who wants to be an American. He gets in line. On average, he'll spend 9 or 10 years in line. On average, he'll spend $25,000 to $30,000 chewy to come to this country the right way. To me, that's an immigrant. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. Look, Chewy, it's not racist for me to say Chicago has a violence program, a violence problem. Almost all the violence in Chicago is black on black. That's a fact. It's not racist to say that. When I tell you that according to our own government, illegals that make up 3% of the population commit 30% of the murders in this country, that's not vitriol. That's a government statistic.
It's a false statistic.
It's
a false statistic, and I would offer proof of it. Okay, I don't have it on me, but I will refute your statement.
If I'm wrong, I will come to your district and vote for you. I will move to your district and
we
vote
don't
for
need
you.
Your vote.
Joel. Hey, Chewy, the way that vote, district Joel. Looks, you okay. don't.
Okay, we have time for just one or two more questions, gentlemen. One more, thank you. This is from City Club member Mark Weiermuller. Do you have any thoughts on allowing some dreamers green cards, but who could never be citizens or allowed to vote?
Go ahead, guys. Brian, you want to?
I took a look at a summary of the Goodlatte bill. Goodlatte's the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. And I think what's contained in that bill, which was released about 2 weeks ago, is that they would give the dreamers a three-year extension of some kind, but it wouldn't be amnesty necessarily. I'm somewhat okay with that. It's going to take a while to figure this out. So,
and my only response to all of the dreamers and DACA and everything else is, I don't want to have a discussion until we secure the border. Period. And then talk about all of these other legitimate issues.
8 of 10 Americans support DACA, and allowing individuals, the DACA class of young people, to obtain a green card and a path to citizenship. Number two, if you haven't been to the border, you should be to the border. And you'll see the billions of dollars that have been invested. It's part of the reason why migration is almost at a standstill from Mexico. You will see huge walls, you will see fencing, you will see surveillance equipment, you will see helicopters, you will see some of the most advanced technology systems in the world.
By the way, to Chewy's point, migration from Mexico has almost stopped because of that guy in the White House. They pay attention. Donald Trump said, I'm going to do something about it if I win. The reason that illegals are not trying to flood over our southern border right now is because they know Trump's serious about it. They're not coming up.
Well, let's give our panelists a big round of applause.